in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know,
We are live in Dallas, or actually, to be more factual, we are in Garland, Texas. Yeah, fire that up, Wags. It is the Get Teed Off at OU Golf Tournament. It is certainly not golf weather, a dramatic turn in the weather. Last night we were out at the softball game in shorts and sweating in 90 degrees, and this morning it's bundle up and hold on to your hat. It is wind blowing out of the north about 25 knots. Knots, you like knots?
Yeah, knots is cool.
25 knots, or I sound like a seaman of some kind, an airman.
Wags is coming out with come out of the closet day. You're coming out that you're a seaman now today. This has been a grand start. This has been a grand day here up here. Every year it's different.
Airman, those are the ones like airman, like the captain. Yeah. That's
actually
the one guys
come
that say,
out of the closet
that say knots, right? 25 knots.
Sure, you can. Yeah, you man. Know. It's cold up here today.
It is very cold.
It is really.
And all the golfers or would-be golfers are huddling around here in the pro shop where we are. And I got to give a big buck on to, I know it's not Thursday, to Joe Houston, our on-site engineer, because he made the wise decision in the pitch dark this morning to post us up here indoors in the Firewheel Golf Club. We were set to be out in the pavilion.
We've been trying to get this gig for years, by the way. Indoors here.
Yeah.
We don't mind telling you guys that.
Hey, Joe, that's a way to throw your weight around.
Yeah.
And to make this happen, because we would be – it would be a miserable 4 hours of radio because it is cold. And, yes, do we sound whiny? For sure. But when the temperature drops 50 degrees in a day, you deal with it. But we are live in Dallas. We are excited to be here.
And I'm not good with thunder. I'm not good with lightning either at courses. I'm absolutely a quitter. I play with the Texas Cheater, and those guys are the guys that say, hey – we only got three holes to play, and the lightning's all over the top of you. I just go, I can't do it. I don't have that kind of luck, guys. I'm out of here.
Speaking, I'm with you. You know, there's a Twitter handle for everything, but there's a Twitter thing you can watch that the lightning strikes and people getting struck by lightning.
blocker charge.
Yeah, it's like that, and people are just like walking and.
No, thanks.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
So I'm out on that. So
and thank you to our sponsors getting us up here. Of course, Dr. Greg Eckert, who's absolutely the very, very best. And if you've got that problem with snoring, and I mean it's not always about you in that deal. You have a partner that's beside you. It's tough on them,
but your health too.
Your health is very important. And if you're stopping your breathing during the course of the night or during the course of a minute of sleep, that is very dangerous. And let Dr. Eckert get you hooked up. But for Jack Gilmore and Jack Allen's Kitchen and Salt Traders, Zilker Park, the new location, you got to get on over there. It's been opened up since last week. They open up at 11 a.m., and you can get some of the very best coastal seafood that you've ever had. And they don't care whether it's ACL. They're still ready to crank it up over there.
All right, coming up, speaking of Joe Houston, our on-site engineer, and we do appreciate them very, very much for getting us here. Joe has a great story about how he snuck into the Cotton Bowl, not just snuck into his first ever Red River rivalry game last year, but also was on the field hanging out with Matthew McConaughey. Got to get you that story coming up. Also, Lee Sterling will make picks on the big games of the weekend, including this one here in Big D Dallas at the bottom of this hour. And right now, let's get your headlines. We're also going to talk to Ryan Aber of the Oklahoman, who covers the Sooners on a daily basis. We'll get the Sooner side of this thing just outside 24 hours out to kickoff. But first, let's get the news. Top headlines on a Friday brought to you by Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. We will start with college football and this game, the Red River Showdown. After practice last night, Texas head coach Tom Herman went through the team's injury report, and no news is good news, as they say. As expected, no defensive back Jalen Green, Josh Thompson, Caden Stearns, they're all out, as well as running back Jordan Whittington. But tight end Cade Brewer, safeties Chris Brown and DeMarvion Overshown, and senior wide receiver Colin Johnson listed as probable and are expected to play tomorrow and be fully healthy for the game at the Cotton Bowl at 11 o'clock in the morning, the 115th engagement. Baseball, High drama down in Houston last night as Houston made it happen. Gerrit Cole tossed his second consecutive playoff masterpiece. Astros staked him to an early four-run lead with a four-run first inning, and they go on to win and beat Tampa 6-1, the deciding Game 5 of their AL Divisional Series. Cole followed up his 15-strikeout gem in Game 2 with another overpowering effort last night. Eight innings, struck out 10. He's now 18-0 in his last 24 starts.
I mean, just elated. It was just a really hard-fought series. I mean, a lot of credit to the Rays. They had an unbelievable season. They put up an unbelievable fight, really challenged us. Fortunately, we were able to take the lead early and play really outstanding defense and then finish it off with a couple homers.
So the Astros now move on to face the New York Yankees as a series and a matchup that seemed inevitable all season. Here it is, heavyweights both. 107 win Astros, 103 win Yankees. A.J. Hinch excited to get it started tomorrow night.
The way they match up their bullpen has not been too dissimilar to Tampa, maybe not as aggressive as they are, but they've gotten healthy, and so have we. You know, we haven't really played a series where both teams have been completely healthy and completely armed for it. And so we're about to buckle up and get to a seven-game series to see who represents the American League in the World Series. That's a good feeling, and it's an even better feeling that it comes through our house and we have home field.
Astros won four of the seven meetings this season. Zach Greinke faces James Paxton in the first game. Game one of the National League Championship Series is tonight in St. Louis. Cardinals and Nationals. Anibal Sanchez, Michaelis, your starting pitchers. NFL Week 6 opened last night in New England. Wasn't always pretty, but New England pulls away and beats the New York Giants 35-14. They improved to 6-0. Giants fall to 2-4. Tom Brady had two rushing touchdowns, both quarterback sneaks. He also moved ahead of Peyton Manning for second place on the NFL's all-time passing yards list. For the undefeated Patriots down in San Marcos, Jake Spavital's Texas State Bobcats had their two-game win streak snap. They lost to Louisiana Monroe 24-14.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment.
Get a free steel leaf blower or chainsaw with a purchase of any zero-turn mower in stock for the month of October.
TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
And shame on me, Buck,
what's
that
up?
I have not mentioned that former Longhorn basketball player Ariel Atkins is now a WNBA champion.
Oh, they won last night.
WNBA champion after their win last night in the decisive Game 5 of the WNBA championship. Can you tell me who she plays for?
The Sparks.
Washington.
The Minnesota Wild.
Washington Mystics.
Okay.
I had class Washington with Ariel.
If you have any more of those WNBA questions, you can always count on me to know the
answers
to. Yeah.
You're right on top of it.
Right on it.
On National Coming Out Day. Hey,
yeah.
Wags, what did you say right there? You went to class with her?
Yes, I had a speaking class. It was a speech class, as a matter of fact.
Nice. All right. How'd you do in that class?
Got a B.
Got a B.
Good
solid
job,
B.
Wags. Solid B.
Wags.
Yeah, I basically lost some points for attendance.
Well, exactly.
Of course.
Hey, so congratulations to Ariel Atkins and the Washington Mystics. The Washington Nationals would like to keep that rolling, too, on their side of it. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Does a great job covering the Oklahoma Sooners for the Oklahoman. We had him on the show last year on a Friday before the game, and here he is again. Ryan Aber is with us from the Oklahoman. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Appreciate it. Good. We're real good. Now, the weather has certainly, since I saw you last yesterday at the pregame of the softball game, the weather has certainly turned.
Yeah, just a little bit. I haven't got out and about this morning, just been doing some work. But it was a difficult drive back to my hotel about 7 o'clock, or I guess 8 o'clock last night when the rain just started pouring down. And it's cooled off pretty considerably.
Yeah, man, about 40 or 50 degrees. All right, Ryan, so we talked yesterday about this matchup, and you write for the Oklahoman from the Oklahoma side. So take our audience in to behind the scenes, the defense. Let's start there with a new defensive coordinator, some new personnel. Obviously, statistically, they've been better through the first five games. In your mind, how much improved are they from a year ago this time?
Well, there's no doubt that they're a pretty fair amount better. Of course, a fair amount better from what they were last year can just be sort of with this defense. They haven't played many any dynamic offenses. The best offense that they played to this point was Houston with De'Aaron King there before he decided to redshirt. There's things structurally that you can tell that they're doing so much better. They're getting after quarterback with the defensive line. Their corners have played significantly better. But there's some holes that you wonder if it's going to get exposed in a game like this, especially at nickelback and safety. Their safeties have played okay to this point, except they haven't been able to develop any depth there. They only feel comfortable throwing out those two starters
those guys play virtually the entire game. And Brennan Radley Hyle, the nickelback, has had some issues tackling in open space, which if you can't tackle in open space in a game like this, could land you in some trouble.
Yeah, with guys like Devin Duvernay and Jake Smith and others, and could see others in that slot. And then there's Sam Ellinger. Where is the biggest improvement? You mentioned structurally they're playing more aggressive. A guy like Neville Gallimore really seems to have come along and playing to his potential. Murray in the middle. Where do you think they're most significantly improved on defense?
Well, I think it's a couple of those guys, the two guys that you just mentioned, the way that this defense is with the one-gap look allows defensive linemen especially to be so much more aggressive. It's allowed Kenneth Murray to be freed up quite a bit and able to go around and make plays. His tackle numbers aren't what they were a year ago, of course, when you've got, what was it, the 26, 27 tackles in one game like he had last year against Army. But this year the tackles that he is making are right at the line of scrimmage or behind it rather than 5-6 yards down the field. Gallimore there in the middle has played so much better. He's a guy, again, his numbers just don't pop out at you, but he's been really, really effective, made some very good plays the last couple of weeks. But the biggest thing is just the aggressiveness that you see there that you haven't seen out of this defense in quite a while when Mike Stoops was in charge.
You know, when Mike was there, Ryan, it was a catch, grab, and then try to recover type of defense, especially on the defensive line. As you said, the aggressiveness that you see from them right now, that first and second down, they come at you whether you're run or pass. They seem to have balls to the walls immediately in first down, especially. When you watch this team, they're not reaching, they're not grabbing, but they're coming whether it's the ball carrier or the quarterback. They seem to be more aggressive at that, which kind of has freed up Murray. As you said, maybe not as many tackles, but, man, his instinct to the ball, they kind of go the way he goes, I believe.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Jalen Hurts sets the tone on offense and Kenneth Murray sets the tone on defense. And you wondered how he would take to that here as a junior under a new defensive coordinator. But he's really just blossomed this year. I sort of laughed, honestly, before the season when he was named preseason Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year because, yes, his tackle numbers were, you know, off the charts last year, but like I said, these tackles weren't coming at the line of scrimmage. They weren't coming behind. They were coming, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 yards down the field. And this year, it's been so much different. And he's really lived up to that moniker, that preseason hype through the first 5 games.
Ryan Aber is with us from the Oklahoman. He's the beat writer for the Oklahoman, covers the Oklahoma Sooners. You can follow him on Twitter at @RYAber. That's RYAber, A-B-E-R. Hey, Ryan, the other thing on defense, and we'll flip to the offensive side, when I hear aggressive at safety, and Tom Herman even mentioned they come downhill off the safety spot, and then you mentioned that they struggle at safety a little bit, I just hear the words play action for Sam Ellinger. You know, if they're going to be that aggressive and you can hold up in pass protection, which Texas has been pretty good at this year, that could obviously lead to big shots down the field.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's one area where you could see some vulnerability there if they are able to do that and do it effectively. So it'll be interesting. Like I said, DeLaron Turner, Yell, and Pat Fields have held up pretty well, but they have really nobody behind them. And, if you can take advantage of that spot a little bit, if you can make Brennan Radley Hyles have to make those open field tackles, then maybe you could see some vulnerability in Alex Wrench's defense.
You know, Ryan, on the offensive side, Jalen Hurts has made an unbelievable transition from just being a really, really good player, and I mean all-around player, including passer when he was at Alabama, to a really sensational-looking guy, maybe even a NFL quarterback prospect, I mean a top prospect. But for him, a lot of folks will say he's never played in a game like this. But Jalen Hurts has played in a lot of huge monster games on a week-in, week-out basis when he was at Alabama. So I don't think this is the stage that's going to make him shy away from it. To me, I think this is the kind of stage that's going to make him thrive at.
Yeah, I mean, his personality is such that these games don't really affect him. He's pretty unflappable. As we've seen throughout his time at Oklahoma and before at Alabama, he's played in the Iron Bowl. He's played in college football playoff games. So
Yes, this is a completely different atmosphere from anything that he's played in before, but he's not going to wilt in big games. If Oklahoma isn't successful, if Oklahoma loses on Saturday, I don't believe it's going to be because Jalen Hurts just falls apart because of the big game atmosphere.
Ryan Aber is with us, covers the Sooners for the Oklahoman. Other side of that is this. No one doubts Jalen Hurts, I don't think, the stable of running backs, the receivers, the tight ends. But what's the level of concern north of the Red River for this offensive line that we knew coming into the season was replacing four really good players that got drafted into the NFL, and now that line has taken some injuries. What's the level of concern for that unit?
Yeah, it's pretty significant right now, especially it sounds like both of those starting tackles that – aren't really very experienced to begin with, are going to be out, and they're going to have even less experienced guys in there, especially guys who have significantly, most significantly played guard at this level. And it's a different animal when you move outside, when you've got to deal with that edge and deal with getting out and the movement that Oklahoma's offensive line generally uses. I think that Bill Beedenbo's holding his breath a little bit now. He's got a pretty good track record, and they've performed well at times. But, again, they have not faced a defense quite like this. The Oklahoma schedule this year, they tried to be aggressive and schedule Houston and UCLA, thinking that they would be pretty good non-conference tests. And that hadn't been the case. And Oklahoma's used a different offensive line in every single game this year. They haven't been able to build any kind of continuity there, really outside of Creed Humphrey there anchoring in the middle. But that edge is somewhere to watch on Saturday and see if Texas is able to take advantage of a couple tackles who have not played in a game anything like this. So I talked about Jalen Hurts not folding because of the atmosphere. You could see Oklahoma's tackles maybe have to deal with a little bit of that at some point on Saturday.
Where do you see Lincoln Riley trying to help those guys out? You can't help them both out. You just don't have enough bodies to help them out. But it sounds like somebody's going to need some help, whether it's a running back or a tight end, leaving your tight end, your very, very good tight end, which you don't want to do. But it looks like somebody's going to need some help over there, and that gives an advantage to the Longhorns, and especially two tackles. One tackle I could understand, you may be able to get away with that, Ryan. Two guys, that's hard to overcome.
Yeah, it really is. I think you could see a pretty heavy dose of Jeremiah Hall, the fullback, who they use in so many different ways. He can line up at tight end and line up as a blocking fullback as well. I think you could see that quite a bit. The other guy is a guy from right around here in Dallas, Austin Stogner, the freshman tight end. Grant Calcaterra gets a lot of attention, although he hadn't caught many passes to this point this year. But Stogner's been a guy who's been a pretty significant part of their goal line sets and short yardage sets. And I think you could see him a little bit more on Saturday just because of that blocking ability and maybe help out that tackle a little bit, at least on one side. Maybe if you help with the blind side of Jalen Hurts, or if one tackle's struggling, you can pick him up a little bit there. But that takes away a pretty dynamic receiving option on the field. So they're not going to try to do that too much, but it might be a case where they have to.
Yeah, sliding guards to tackle in this game with that environment could be tested, and you can certainly attack the perimeter. Ryan, I know you're just the beat reporter. I don't know if you make predictions. How are you leaning on this game with Oklahoma as a double-digit favorite?
Yeah, I made a prediction for this game in Wednesday's Oklahoma, and I picked 41-34 Oklahoma. So I picked the Sooners, but I picked it going down to the wire, and it's not something I feel completely comfortable with, especially with the way OU's played in this game. It's been 7 years since Oklahoma's covered when you talk about the spread in this game. Obviously, the Big 12 title game last year was a little bit different. So they haven't played just fantastically in this game in a long, long time. So I think it's going to come down to the wire, come down to the fourth quarter. And for me, it was really hard to go against Jalen Hurts in a situation like that.
Ryan Aber, appreciate it. Great stuff. Good to see you yesterday. And thanks for coming on again on a Friday to really give us the behind-the-scenes preview from north of the Red River. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, glad to do it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll see you at the Cotton Bowl tomorrow at Fair Park. All right, people are asking on the text line, in addition to the Ryan's Good Info, what is that beeping noise? There's an alarm behind us. And so every time the door opens here in the clubhouse, the little beep goes, so we apologize.
Are you just hearing it now?
Well, it's just been pointed out on the text line. I think it got quiet in here, and it got quiet for when Ryan was talking, so people are hearing it every couple seconds. We'll try to get that muted during the break.
Get over it, you people. It's OU weekend. Come on.
But I would say this to Ryan Aber on the other side of that. In addition to all that he said, I don't think it's arguable that this is, to his point about 7 years, they haven't covered the line and haven't played great. This is the best Texas team, player for player, that has played in this game in 7 years. Experience at quarterback, experience on the offensive line, experience on the D-line, experience in key places. Receiver core is as good as it's been. Young at running back, and then issues in the secondary. But as far as physicality and overall talent, this is the best unit Texas will put on that field, in my mind, and that's why I'm picking them to win.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because this is also a unit for Oklahoma at wide receiver that they're going to put against a pretty poor secondary at Texas.
Well, and
we haven't talked very much about this group of wide receivers.
We'll hear from Todd Orlando coming up later about Charleston Rambo and CeeDee Lamb. But to Ryan's point right there and what we've talked about, if you have to leave people in to help protect your quarterback because of
just
the offensive line.
Just one less guy that can't get out.
And it's one less guy you have to cover.
That's right.
Which, you know, can help you, you know, help you put extra people on CeeDee Lamb and give you some help on Charleston Rambo. So we'll pick that up on the other side. And on the other side, the picks. You got to have them. It's a Friday, just past 8:30. It's going to be Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, with the Paramount Picks of the Weekend.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
It is B&E, and we are live in Dallas, or close to it. We're in Garland, and quite nasty, the weather, which in Austin you're dealing with as well. Much cooler temperatures as the cold front has moved through. It's going to be kind of a rough Friday as far as weather goes. Be careful if you're making the dash to Dallas from Austin up I-35. You know how traffic typically is on a Friday of Texas OU weekend, but throw a little inclement weather, the rain on top of it, the construction in Waco. So slow it down, be advised, and take your time. You'll get here. When you do come up, we'd love to see you. We're going to be live this afternoon at Twin Peaks in Addison. That's on Beltline Road. So when you're coming up, come on over and see us. That's where we're going to be posted up today from 1 o'clock, starting with Rod Babers on the Rodcast, all the way to 6:30 when we hand it off to high school football. That will be our location today. So come on out. We'd love to see you. Have some lunch, grab some dinner, have a cold drink, and we'll be talking Texas and Oklahoma. And the big weekend in college football, and again, that's Twin Peaks in Addison on Beltline Road. Just Google it and come find us. Hey, so let's go to the Vaqueros Hotline. Speaking of big college football weekends and big games this weekend, the man we go to for the big picks of the week every week at 8:30, Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, joins us. Lee, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Guys going to get yourself a Fletcher's Corny Dog before the game?
Probably. Bucky will not. Bucky doesn't like those.
No. Bad memories. A little corny dog reminds me of something.
His dog does.
You know what I mean? When you bite into the end of that thing. Yeah.
Sorry about that, Lee.
my wife tells me. So, growing up in Miami, you don't see too many people eating corn dogs. So, she says to me, what is this attraction with eating corn dogs? I'm like, honey, let me explain something to you. My uncle was a scout for the Cowboys. I used to fly in. He used to fly me in. And I used to go to the Texas State Fair and go to the Texas OU game. And if there was a Cowboys game the next day, went to that game. I said, you always got at least two Fletcher's corny dogs before the game. So she doesn't get it, but, you know, she buys corn dogs, frozen corn dogs, every couple months for me in the grocery store. And once you've had Fletcher's corny dogs, I think you're hooked as a kid.
Yeah. Well, that you got it, Lee, because you've been to this game. You know, when you're walking around the carnival, you get your food has to be on a stick because you don't have hands to hold it. All you got to have a beer in one hand and a stick in the other. And so if you can put a hot dog deep fried on a stick, now you're talking. Right. All battered up. I mean, it's perfect.
And then you finish it off with some elephant ears, right?
Oh, my goodness. Lee, I tell you what I always come here to do, and I always get sick. For some odd reason, I come to the state fair to the worst – I try to find a cheesesteak at the state fair. It is the worst thing to even attempt to do when they put that cheese on it.
You got to go to Philly for cheesesteaks. That's it.
Absolutely. I know.
Yeah. State fair for corn dogs, Philly for cheesesteaks.
That's right.
And a little bit different this year, Lee. They're going to have beer vendors in the Cotton Bowl, which is a new occasion. Ooh. Beer vendors in the Cotton Bowl this year. I think 26 of them, which this could turn into a European soccer match at some level if they're not careful.
Yeah, as long as LSU fans aren't coming. Do you hear about when they went to – We went to Vanderbilt. They were out of beer by halftime.
They drank Austin out of beer. I didn't know that was possible. Hey, Lee, let's start with that game today or tomorrow. You know, it's a lot of great matchups, but a lot of big lines. LSU, almost a two-touchdown favorite over Florida. They've got the quarterback, Joe Burrow. Florida coming off the big win over Auburn. What do you think about this game? Why do you think the line is so large?
Well, the game is at LSU. If this game is at Florida, I might even look to the Gators because at home, I mean, they rolled Tennessee and they took care of Auburn. But on the road, Miami, two plays away, two different times from winning that game. Kentucky, they missed a field goal or else they knock off Florida. So I think they're a different team on the road here. Kyle Trask also has got a gimpy knee. He's going to play this game with a sprained knee. And Joe Burrow, I mean, the game has slowed down for this guy. He's just, it's like he's playing 7-on-7. And I think it's a circle game here for LSU since they lost last year in the Swamp 27-19. I think it's going to be tight for a while. Then LSU pulls away late. Give me the Tigers here, 31-13.
Lee, the next game, Alabama versus Texas A&M. A&M struggling a little bit. Not a little bit. They truly missed that the running back that they had last year. So Kellen Mond has a lot of pressure on him. Do they get out of this funk this weekend versus Bama?
I don't know if they can, Bucky. You know, here's why. I'm writing down notes when I'm watching games, and I noticed that in the last 2 weeks I wrote beside Texas A&M certain units average. They're just average at everything. Their offense scored 30 points against combined against Clemson and Auburn. That's 15 points per game versus top 10 defenses. So let's give them 21 or maybe even 24 points against this Bama defense, which is not as good as they've been in the past. Got a bunch of young freshmen starting at linebacker. But this Alabama offense, I mean, you're going to see their receivers. You're going to see three or four guys go in the first round and be very successful in the NFL. They're almost unstoppable. And Texas A&M, their receivers, they got a bunch of twos and threes. These guys, their top four receivers, all averaging under 14 yards of reception here. I'm going with Bama. Sometimes you got to lay it if you want to play it. Roll Tide, 48-21.
I can
see that one, Lee, yes.
How about just south of here? I went right through Waco. Waco's got some pretty bad construction, by the way, if you're driving up. But Baylor and Texas Tech are going to get it on Saturday in that McLean Stadium. And Texas Tech coming off a big win over Oak State. Oh, Baylor is off to an undefeated start for Matt Rhule. This should be a fun game and kind of a what-do-you-got kind of game. What do you see?
Here's what's crazy. There's some teams out there undefeated, but everyone's just talking about SMU. SMU, you know, is getting most of the headlines being undefeated. Baylor doing a great job. Their defense, just so consistent, allowing 15 points per game, not allowing those big chunk plays here. Tech on an 0-5 against the spread run on the road. Tech, you know, they just need turnovers to be successful because their defense is not very good. Their offense isn't close to pass units, just don't have the receivers there. And they needed all those turnovers just to hold on. They were plus 5 in turnover ratio to grease the skids in that 45-35 win last week against Oklahoma State. Tech, like I said, 0-5 against the spread on the run road here. Make it 0-6. Baylor wins by 2 touchdowns and stays undefeated 31-17.
I like that call also, Lee. We get to the NFL, a game that everybody's going to be interested in.
Yeah.
It won't be the NFL. It'll be the game tomorrow, Oklahoma versus Texas. You know, it's been a long time since Oklahoma has covered this line, Lee, and I don't know if they do it tomorrow, but Vegas seems to like it.
They do, but, you know, Oklahoma's offense is unstoppable. You know, the average person that watches games, you know, they watch games and they, you know, listen to what they hear on ESPN and they look at the polls and Oklahoma's higher than Texas. Their offense is almost unstoppable. But Texas's offense is not far behind them. I mean, Erlinger, he's one of these guys. He just wills his team to win. He makes almost every right decision in the spread, handing it off or keeping it. And they're getting healthier at running back, wide receiver, and also the defensive backfield. And I think being tested by LSU and Oklahoma State is really going to benefit them here. Here's a stat that's crazy. Everyone talks about the Herman stat as an underdog, 13-3, and that's impressive. But as a first-time starter, and I think Jalen Hurts is great, but as a first-time starter in this game, if you're facing another starting quarterback who started the year before, 2-14 straight up. I think this is going to be round one before a rematch in the Big 12 title game again in December. Oklahoma wins 45-40, but I'm taking Texas and those 11 points. It wouldn't shock me if they win the game outright.
Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. We'll tell you how you can get on board with Lee and his team. But one more pick in the NFL. It's a good one. It's Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, drafted a couple of picks apart in the draft a couple of years ago. Now here they are in their first showdown. Could be the first of many AFC showdowns between these two young quarterbacks. Lee, what do you think? Houston and Kansas City.
Yeah, I think you saw the roadmap to beat Kansas City. Just do ground and pound. And Indianapolis beat them up. I just don't know if Houston's that team that can, you know, just keep it on the ground and play keep away. So Mahomes, obviously not the same after he hurt his ankle in the second half, but he's getting back Hill, and Hill's a difference maker. I think he's going to hit on a big play there. High-scoring game here. I like Kansas City, 37-30. They got to keep winning if they want to have any chance of home field advantage, because if New England has that championship game at home, no one's beaten New England and New England.
Yep, and their schedule just continues to line up for them to have some patsies, and they're 6-0. The Patriots are after last night's win over the Giants. Lee, the game of the week is the Cowboys and Jets. You can get that if you get to you at ParamountSports.com. I know the website is the easiest way, also the phone. How can folks get to you and have fun this weekend and the rest of the football season?
Yeah, first 10 callers, we're going to give them the Cowboys and the Jets on me, on a roll in the NFL. You want to get this game, just be one of the first 10 callers. Call 800-400-9741, and we have a big game going on Sunday. We rate our games from 10 to 50 units, and we're 39-15 the last 11 years on these 40 to 50 unit plays. So we're going to break out another big one in the NFL. You want to hop on board, how about this? It's not October, it's Locktober, guys. 3 weeks of action. Use coupon code SAVE100, just $297. You hop on board for Locktober, ParamountSports.com.
Lee, thanks. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. They're going to be good ones.
Thank you, Lee.
Yep, thanks, guys. You too.
All right, Lee Sterling with the five picks. Four favorites, including Baylor, including Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Including LSU at Death Valley, and he likes the Chiefs over the Cowboys, or over the Texans by more than five. But he likes the Longhorns to keep it inside the number. And another fact that we've talked about a lot, that there's been a touchdown or more underdog in this game each of the last seven games. Oklahoma hasn't covered any of them. And Texas has won three of them outright. And I got this Texas game as the wrong team favorite game. I'm taking Texas outright.
I thought I was going to hear that from him. I did too.
I was like, oh, wait a second. Are we going to get wrong team favorite agreement on this?
No.
I think Texas is going to win the football game. But we'll talk more about it. We'll talk with you about it. But coming next, it's your chance to shine. It's only as good as you make it. It's the world-famous Friday before the OU game blitz. So bring that strong. It is 8:43, Buck, and OU.
Still sucks.
It's the Craig Way Sports Report. Now, here's Craig.
The football weekend is underway for the area's three collegiate programs. In truth, it began last night in San Marcos, where Texas State had a Thursday night matchup with Sunbelt Conference foe Louisiana Monroe. Unfortunately for the Bobcats, it did not end well. The Cats had struggles on offense throughout the night, and while a fumble recovery set up a 62-yard touchdown pass from backup quarterback Tyler Vitt to Travis Graham late in the third quarter, it was as close as Texas State could get, and the Warhawks added an insurance touchdown in the final 2 minutes of the game to seal at 24-14. It's a travel day today for the other two area programs. Southwestern University is off to Jackson, Mississippi for a matchup with Belhaven tomorrow afternoon. And in Dallas, it's the Red River Showdown tomorrow at 11 a.m., Texas and Oklahoma. Longhorns defensive coordinator Todd Orlando looks at an explosive Oklahoma offense led by transfer quarterback Jalen Hurts, wide receivers CeeDee Lamb and Charleston Rambo, and running backs Trey Sermon and Ramondre Stevenson, and sees trouble in all directions.
Well, I think on the outside with CeeDee and Rambo, I don't think they lose a lot. I mean, you look at Hollywood last year. I mean, these guys can absolutely run. So, and then, you know, we've gone against Trey and the Stevenson kid's a really, really tough runner, too. So he's a moose. And, you know, so there, I mean, to me, it's amazing that they're able to get in those spots, some of the talent they have. And then Jalen is, you know, he's coming over from a great program. He's in a program right now. He has a whole bunch of weapons with him. He's being coached up. He's starting to really, really understand the system. And he plays with unbelievable confidence and no fear. So when you have a talent, when you can make all the throws, and obviously he can extend plays with his feet, but just you know, being fearless and going on the field, and even if something bad happens to you, and be able to just let it go and to go out there and compete again. I think that's when you get people and, you know, these older guys that transfer over, that's what makes them so dangerous.
Coming up this afternoon, Todd, Orlando discusses one key to winning that perhaps trumps all others with regard to his defense. That's in our next report. I'm Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did someone tell you that? Did someone tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Oh, man, it is a cold morning, but I'd still like to have a Bud Light right about now. Salacious Gossip is brought to you by Bud Light. Only four ingredients brewed right here deep in the heart. But we are deep in the heart of some cold temperatures. It's unbelievable. Dramatic change in the weather from 90 degrees yesterday and last night at the softball game, the Red River Rivalry softball game, to 45 and the wind howling out of the north at about 25 miles an hour, or 25 knots, as us seamen like to say, Buck.
There you go.
Live here in Garland, Texas. Real quick, so Salacious Gossip, let's bring John Houston, our Joe Houston, I should say, our producer, our on-site engineer. He's got to tell this story. So last year, Joe was a new, you were an intern for us last year, is that right?
Correct.
And now he's a rising star at the Horn, Buck. Our guy Joe here. And so here he is, and we're at the fairgrounds, and Joe's an intern. He's an eager intern. He wants to do well. And game day was in town, remember?
So I remember.
Kirk Curbstreet and the guys. So I send Joe over. I say, Joe, because it's on the total other side of the fair from where we are. And I say, Joe, go over there and take a bunch of pictures, so because before they start, and we can put those out and really get people pumped up in the morning, and we'll put some stuff out from our side. And so you did a great job of that. But listen to this. This is how he weaseled his way into his first ever Texas OU game.
Yeah, I ended up walking over there, and there was a nice lady that let me up on the stage before anybody was out there, before Curbstreet and Corso and all those guys are out there. And I'm like, hey, can I get up there and take some pictures? It would really help me and make it me look good for my boss if I could do that. You know, you always have to play that card.
Yeah.
Like, hey, it would really
sympathy
help me
card.
Out. Yeah, exactly. So I get up there, and it's an empty stage, and I get all these pictures. It's kind of cool. And then once y'all started going through the broadcast, I was like, I wonder if I could get up there again while they're doing their stuff and maybe get another picture. So I go back, and I talk to the same lady. And I'm like, hey, was there any way I can get up there again and get some pictures? She's like, yeah, but you need this pass. And don't say anything, don't make a noise. So it's all the guys while they're up there doing the broadcast.
Yeah, he starts posting these great pictures. I'm like, what?
It's the cameramen, it's the guys on stage, and it's like one or two producers, and then it's me in my full Astros gear because the Astros were in the playoffs. I don't look like I should be there at all, and I've got this ESPN pass. And after I take the pictures, I'm like, all right, thanks. And she's got a full pocket of these passes, so I'm like, I'm not going to give it back to her. She's got a bunch of them. She doesn't need them. So I walk off, and I'm kind of talking to Chad and a few of the guys before the game, and I'm like, I wonder if I could get in anywhere with this. So what do you think? It said ESPN College Game Day on it. It looked kind of official.
So you take the pass. Like, we got to go fast, but you take the pass. You get into the game.
I walk in the first place, walk in, get to the elevator, and the guy's like, what floor? And I freeze. I'm like, I have no idea. And then he looks at my pass. He goes, no, that's for on the field. So I walk around the corner,
nice.
Act like I'm supposed to be there, walk down the tunnel. I'm
sitting and he's on the field.
I'm talking to the president of the Orange Bowl for 30 minutes. Didn't realize it was him until he turns and he's got a name tag
that
says
that.
President Orange Bowl. Hung out behind Vince Young and Matthew McConaughey. Got to watch the game. And, 48-45, whatever it was, last-second field goal landed 10 feet from me.
That is awesome.
Awesome, Joe.
Yeah,
great
that's
job,
a story.
Man.
That's well done. And that's a lesson for you kids out there. Be eager. Find a way. Make your boss happy. That's just what you do.
And that's true. Anytime you kids want to get to the strip club, just pretend you've been there before.
Act
open
confident.
Up the door and go right and sit at a table.
That confident. Is exactly right.
Be confident, guys.
Be confident. Act like you belong. No one will say a word.
No.
Let's go to your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
I wonder how many OU sucks we're going to get here. First Blitzer, you're up.
CD Lamb? CD's nuts. OU sucks.
That's a beautiful way to start. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Aaron. Hope you're playing a good walking route whenever you went to Dallas the other day. So when them boys win, you know how to get there.
I don't think he's going to have to worry about it.
I'm feeling all right about that walk.
Yeah, I do too. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, guys. I'm not a Texas or an OU fan, but damn, Bucky, what do you think? That betting line is probably the safest betting line I've ever heard. What does your cousin say?
Now, I know what you want me to say, so you can go to the other way. I know exactly what they're trying to set
me
up.
Take the Sooners. Take the Sooners. Lay the points.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky.
Yes.
Yankees suck. Go Astros!
Wow, a Yankees
yes,
suck.
That's what I like to hear.
Oh, you suck. Bring it. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Well, it's 8:58, and Oklahoma still has the last two Heisman Trophy winners. You own that, Texas.
Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Bucky B.
What's up?
I've told you once, I'll tell you twice, only two things come from Oklahoma, and it's not these nuts.
Next, Blitzer.
Steers and something else.
Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hi, guys. I'm going to let you know that Lincoln Riley's hired me to be on his coaching staff, so you get another tie in this series. This is Howard Schnellenberger.
Howard Schnellenberger. That's going way back right there now. Next, Blitzer, talk to us.
This is Roberto Kraft. They know, we know, if we play our game, we know the end result. And you know, I'm all about the end result.
Yes, you are, Mr. Kraft. You are about the end result. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Who's next? Yankees are next. Go Astros!
What is this going on here?
Bring it.
Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Oh, you suck and catch it every time. Oh, you miss a field goal, I get to touch that big butt.
Next, Blitzer, you're up. Oh, that was it.
Shut it down.
Thank you.
Oh, let's go.
Hey, there we go. Nice job on a Texas OU Friday.
Yes, it was.
I do like the CD Lamb. Hey, CD.
It's going to be great.
His name is Sidarius, and I don't believe his middle name is Nuts.
I don't think so. I don't think it is.
Hey, do you see D's?
Nice for a T-shirt, though.
Yeah, it would be a good T-shirt. All right, we'll come back. We'll continue to talk Texas OU, obviously, preview the other games in the college football weekend. Need to get Bucky's thoughts on Lee Sterling's prediction of romp in College Station and big win for LSU in Death Valley. We'll dive into both, plus the NFL weekend as well. Be any on the horn.